Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So I have a very interesting and different topic today. I think you'll enjoy it. I've invited a well-known broadcast commentator, business consultant, a cultural historian, in fact, and he has coined the phrase, the term, Generation Jones. It's also sometimes referred to as the lost generation. And we're going to be talking on the program today about the nuances of that generation. It's part of the baby boom generation, if I've got it right. And Jonathan Pontell is our guest. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. And the website for our program that we'll refer back to, and you can get more information about what Jonathan's up to. He does a lot of business consulting for small and large businesses that are related to this targeting of this particular market segment and other things. The website is generationjones.com. And so let's just dive right in here, Jonathan. I know you do a lot of talking about this with businesses. Let's talk about what is Generation Jones. In fact, I saw you got big credit, big props on Wikipedia as the person who coined the term Generation Jones. So good for you. You really are Jonesing, aren't you?
I am Jonesing. Generation Jones is the generation between the baby boomers and Generation X.
Okay.
People born 1954 to 1965. These are the most populous birth years, actually, in all of American history. So there are a lot of us, around 53 million just in America.
Wow.
You know, it's people that were originally lumped in mistakenly with the baby boom generation.
Okay.
There was, of course, a demographic boom in babies that happened after the Second World War for 19 years, from 1946 to 1964. A lot of kids were born. And demographers at the time pointed to that phenomenon and say, wow, look at this bulge on the birth charts. A lot of kids are being born. They never referred to it as a generation. It wasn't a generation. But over the years, some in the media, frankly, just sort of lazily started referring to that baby boom as a baby boom generation.
I gotcha. And
over time, it's one of those historical accidents where it just became, entrenched as part of the national mindset as a baby boom generation. But It's generations stem from shared formative experiences, not headcounts. Generation ever before or since the so-called baby boom generation had ever been defined in any way based on the fertility rates of parents, on how many kids were born. It has to do with those key historical, political, economic events that happen when we're young and impressionable that then create in us the sort of ongoing collective personality among those our age that then informs our behavior as we get older. There's a collective ongoing personality that each generation has, and it has nothing to do with birth rates. So, yeah, we're a separate group. A lot of us that study generations now view the baby boom generation as those born 1942 to 1953, and then the generation after Jones is Generation X. Most of us start that in the mid-1960s. I happen to think it starts in 1966. And most will also take it to the end of the 70s. I think it goes to 1978.
Okay, so I'm an X. All right, you help me. I'm an X then.
You're,
okay.
One of those.
I'm the
but we can have an intergenerational dialogue nonetheless.
I'm the X factor. Okay, very good.
Okay.
All right, so you are in the Generation Jones then, I take it.
But please don't rub salt gratuitously into that old age wound. But yes, I am. I'm older than you, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I'm part of Generation Jones. I was among many my age. I remember being in high school and having our social studies teachers tell us one day at school, "Hey, you guys are you're part of the baby boom generation, like I am." And the entire class burst out laughing. It was so obvious to us that we weren't.
Oh, that's funny.
Yet we were lumped in over the years. And now that we're getting separated, I go on a lot of national TV and radio babbling about this, and there really is a There's something that's stirred in people this age. It's not that people my age have been spending sleepless nights obsessing about the fact that we've been generationally mislabeled. Mm. Obviously, people have lives and have other things to worry about. But there is something that sort of clicks for people often about this, and it does matter. I mean, in an increasingly info-blitzed world, labels help us make sense of ourselves, and we're going to be labeled anyway. We might as well be labeled accurately. And the impact in terms of when you separate it out, for example, boomers, traditionally, Jonesers have been lumped in with boomers, but when you separate it out, you see major differences. I'll use the example of politics. If you look at 5 of the 7 last national elections in the U.S., you find that Generation Jones voted at the highest rates for the GOP of all the living generations. The baby boomers voted for the Democrats at the highest rates of all the living generations. So you have really, in effect, the two opposite generations in the electorate voting as far differently as any two generations are voting, and yet they're still often lumped together as if it's one generation, and then clueless pundits say, well, here's how the baby boomers are voting, but if you separate it out, you find two dramatically different groups that are just being mistakenly lumped in together. The same happens in business. I get business people researching various business issues, often in marketing, product development, that come to me and say, I saw you give a speech about this, or I saw you, talking on CNN about this or whatever. I didn't really think much of it, but I took a look at my numbers, and I am absolutely staggered when I look at the differences between attitudes or values or consumer behavior in Generation Jones versus baby boomers. Hmm. So, and for that matter, Xers. I mean, it really is a distinct generation that has its own consumer behavior, political behavior, et cetera.
Interesting. Jonathan Pontel, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, and he has loaded with good information to share with us, generationjones.com. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back with Jonathan Pontel, and the website is generationjones.com. A lot of good information there about Jonathan and his business consulting for companies of all size, and he does from keynote speaking, 10,000 people in a room, to consulting with a business owner on how to tailor their marketing and things to separate out and address these different generations, which Jonathan is helping us understand. And I want to, real quick, Jonathan, I can tell you can answer one of my basic questions that I had before we did this program with you, is help me break down the different generations. So you gave us the baby boomers, which was 1942 to 1953, roughly. You had the Generation Jones from 1954 to 1965. You had Generation X. Is that 1966 to 1978?
Yes, that's right.
All right, and then after that?
Well, after that is what's usually called Generation Y or the Millennials. And okay. Again, with all these generations, there's no official set of birth rate. It's all subjective. Typically what happens is people like me that think they know something about generations will put their opinion into it, and there tends to be sort of a coalescing, if not a complete consensus among people, sociologists, demographers, et cetera, that study these issues. And, a lot of us feel that this younger generation, Generation Y or the Millennials, starts in the late 70s. Some people start as late as 1980, 1981. And it goes for about, I think 12 years. You'll get some people argue 14 years. It's interesting because traditionally cultural generations like this were considered 20 to 22 years long. Over time, that has become much, the generational length is getting shorter and shorter, partly because of the acceleration of culture and how we just don't have as much in common with people that are that much younger. So typically, most of us that are experts in the field of generations now would argue that generations are between 10 and 15 years and getting shorter.
So that would put Y at about 1979 to 1983?
I end at 1992. A lot of us ended in the early 90s.
Okay.
And then around 1990, depending on the expert. And then you have the next generation, which really doesn't have a name that's sort of coalesced around it at all. If there's any name for it, it's Generation Z, as in Generation X, then Generation Y, and then Generation Z. But I don't think Generation Z will stick. I think someone will come up with a name for that very youngest generation. And birth years of that generation, really, none of us feel like we really have a handle on it, because you kind of have to wait for time and historical events to happen before you can really, in any secure way, say, okay, here's where I think that generation ends.
Okay.
The youngest generation is still up in the air.
Okay, all right. So it's still Z, baby Z is the name for right now, but we'll get to something, I imagine, after we have the benefit and luxury of time to give us perspective. Before baby boomer, that started in 1942. Can you go back a couple of generations? Do we have names for those?
I can. So the generation before that, before the baby boomers, is typically called the silent generation. And that generation, depending who's doing the defining, a lot of us think started right around 1925. Generations were a bit longer then. As I said, they keep getting shorter. I mean, you think of people in the silent generation, you think of maybe someone like an Alan Alda or a Phil Donahue, the talk show host from the 80s and 90s, people who are sort of men that tend to be a little bit more sensitive, perhaps, and feelings-oriented, as opposed to the generation before the silent generation, which is typically called the World War II generation or the GI generation. Tom Brokaw famously called them the greatest generation in a book with that title. This is the generation that really sort of got America through the Great Depression and then won the Second World War and came back and rebuilt America. So, which gives rise to why Brokaw used that name, the greatest generation. This is a generation that, that accomplished a lot. And, in fact, we had 8 straight U.S. presidents, all from that one generation. Anyway, all went all the way through, all the way into the baby boom generation. So we skipped. We went, one World War II president after another, all the way until the generational baton was passed to Bill Clinton, who was the first baby boomer president. Hmm. And so the silent generation is actually the only generation in all of U.S. history that looks likely now to not produce a U.S. president. That's going back to the beginning of the country. John McCain was a silent generation guy who might have been president, but at this point they're probably, with all respect to them, a bit too old. There's probably no one at this point that will be. So we'll have gone straight from the World War II generation to baby boom generation, and then to Generation Jones. Barack Obama is a member of Generation Jones and acknowledges as such. I mean, he told me that he considers himself a part of Generation Jones. He told me, and he's written elsewhere, that he believes that his mom was a member of the baby boom generation, even though she wouldn't be in that traditional definition. The one that I and so many people now argue against, that old 46 to 64 definition that's been so discredited because it only was based on birth rates. Obama and a lot of us think that the baby boom generation started earlier. That would include his mom, who also led a very sort of baby boomer life. And so he thinks of himself as very much post-boomer and part of this generation, Generation Jones.
Jonathan, when did the GI generation or greatest generation, when did that one start? Is that like in the tens?
Again, depending on who's defining it, but most of us would put it at around 1916, 1917.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, it's good. I always wanted to get that, kind of that century of perspective on the generation. So we've got roughly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then a to-be-determined number 7 still that are part of this last century.
Right. I mean, I think right now, because so many of the World War II generation have died off, they're not typically included in sort of generational snapshots of America now.
Okay.
I often will speak to that generation, even though there's not that many left.
Right.
But yeah, even the silent generation is now getting a bit on the old side, but there's still plenty of them that are working and have influential positions in government and business.
Very interesting. Jonathan Pontel is our guest today, giving us some fresh perspective on generations, and the website is generationjones.com. We'll get more specifically into Generation Jones and what they're all about when we come back from this break. Stay right there.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Jonathan Pontel, there he is, and we're happy to have him on the program to give us some perspective on these different generations. And we're talking more specifically, or I'd like to get to some specifics now, if we can, Jonathan, on Generation Jones itself. Well, what are some of the things about that generation? And you gave us, that was people born between 1954 and 1965. If I am, as a business owner, targeting people in that generation, what are things that I want to know about them as I craft my message to tell them I'm their best choice for whatever it is that I am offering them?
Right, a good question. And, you know, people look at marketing messaging and other types of messaging often from, you know, many different perspectives, but the generational one, you know, traditionally wasn't used as much. Now we're seeing much increased, you know, it's sort of part of that trend of looking, sort of slicing the pie more thinly, sort of doing more niche marketing rather than general marketing, and sort of that general shift from demographics to psychographics, quantitative research to qualitative research. So it's I think really important looking at the generational components when crafting these messages. One of the things that is sort of broadly that's really interesting about Generation Jones is how persuadable they are. And, you know, that goes very much against conventional wisdom, which would argue that really only younger people are open to persuasive messaging. And traditionally that's the big, you know, 18 to 49 and 25 to 4 demographics. I'm sure you see it in the radio industry where there's a focus on the idea that, you know, after around 50 years old or so, you don't really want to spend much money targeting those people because they're you know, if they've been using Crest toothpaste all these years and you're trying to sell them Colgate, they're really not going to listen. They're going to probably stick with Crest. The reality is that Generation Jones, and I have mountains of data that supports this, Jonesers are more open right now to persuasive messaging. They're more persuadable than they were 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it's really uncanny. It speaks to how you have to look at not only the point in the life cycle where somebody is, and admittedly we Jonesers are getting on the old side now, primarily in our 50s, but also how that combines with the generational variables, that those ongoing generational personality traits that combine at different points with different points in the life cycle. And so what we have here is a generation that was given huge expectations during arguably the height of post-World War II American and confidence as children in the 60s, given a very sky's-the-limit sort of perspective on the American dream. And not just about money. It was a given when we were kids that we'd make as much, at least as much as our parents. So our American dream was very much about the ethos of self-realization, of writing the great American novel or traveling the world and sort of those sort of non-monetary goals. And then the reality that this generation was confronted was so different than what we had been promised because of the souring economy of the 70s that left us a terrible job market as we entered the workforce in the 80s. And not to go off on a whole line here, but just the reality is we haven't had a very good ride sort of at each point in the cycle, whether it was going out to get jobs or to get into college or to buy our first homes or et cetera, et cetera. Jonesers had a tough ride and never really been able to reconnect with those original dreams because we've been so sort of running the rat race and trying to make money. And Jonesers are at a point now where you see in many ways them reconnecting with those original dreams and wanting to live out things that they put on hold. And that translates into a level of persuadability that's really very unusual for people at this age group. You see it in the political context. In the last two elections, Jonesers have been the percentage of swing voters has been highest among Gen Jones. I mean,
okay,
it's a generation
that's
persuadable.
Sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And so I work with quite a few large Fortune 500 companies, major ad agencies in targeting Jonesers, and that's the first thing that really sort of amazes people is seeing that how effective it is that these old people actually can be persuaded to try new things. And, you know, there are many different variables that have to be factored in when targeting Jonesers. It's difficult in a short interview, of course. It's a complicated process to really understand a company's goals and then figure out how to really target this generation. Part of it's language. For example, a word that's very effective with Generation Jones is the term is, you deserve it. Now, by contrast, you were asking about the greatest, or the World War II generation earlier. A great line with that generation is, you earned it. And it's true, they feel like they earned it. The Great Depression, World War II, they did a lot, and at this point they feel like they earned it. They like being told that they earned it. a much better line with our generation, Generation Jones, is you deserve it. And that speaks to this very deep sense of entitlement that Jonesers feel because of the way we were raised in the 60s, where we were just given such huge promises and in such a serious way. And so Jonesers have this, perhaps the deepest sense of entitlement of any of the American generations, at least the recent ones. And so, it can be very effective when you say to this generation, you deserve it. We've used that line in a number of different campaigns with great effect. And so, part of it is just coming up with certain words that have been tested that we see over and over are effective with the generation. And, of course, a lot of it also has to do with the actual content. It has to do with product development. We're looking now at a world where, retirement already, the nature of retirement, the nature of aging is already beginning to change, because as the oldest baby boomers enter that point in the life cycle, we find that they're really changing what it means to age in this country. But the real revolution in aging, the real revolution in what it means to retire, is not with the boomers. It's going to happen with Jonesers. And that's in part because of what I was just speaking to, this Jonesing, the sort of craving that Jonesers have as sort of a fundamental part of their personality, and how that will, as Jonesers get older and don't have the money probably that the boomers have, we've had kind of a rough ride in that way, and will need to work much longer in all likelihood. And, of course, there's a lot of ambiguity as to whether the entitlements, Medicare, Social Security, will be there for Jonesers as they have been for previous generations. And it's going to create the nature of those external realities of perhaps not having as much money, along with the personality of Generation Jones, that we'll see Jonesers changing careers and working much longer, but doing things that are quite different than what they were doing before, living out those childhood dreams that they wanted to do before they sort of just jumped in the rat race and made money. And I think that for people that are looking now at the long-term planning needed to understand what kind of housing will we need for Jonesers as they get older, what sort of products will Jonesers want, now's the time to be looking at this generation, because they're knocking on the door of old age. I mean, Jonesers are already, the oldest Jonesers this year turned 60. Mm. And there's a real opportunity, again, because you've got a generation that's just absolutely huge, the most populous birth years in all of American history, over 50 million. You're talking about roughly one in four of all U.S. adults, a part of this one generation born just during the 12 years, 54 to 65. And they've got money in their pockets. They were hit pretty hard by the 2008 Great Recession, but this is still a very affluent generation, and a generation that has quite different ideas about what it means to retire. And so I urge those that are looking at that part of the business, looking at how to service the needs of this next generation that will occupy that point in the life cycle of elderly and not that long, there's a real opportunity here.
Absolutely. Jonathan Pontel is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. GenerationJones.com, quick break, and we will be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That passionate firecracker on the other end of the line with me today is Jonathan Pontel. He's got loads of good information. And Jonathan, I wish we had like a six-hour program, but I don't. we've got about a minute and a half left, so I wanted to ask you just to kind of give us a final bow around this. It's very insightful stuff. Where can people get more good information if they're really trying to target Generation Jones or even targeting some of the others? I mentioned your website, GenerationJones.com. Any other suggestions?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot out there. A lot's been written about Generation Jones, so I encourage people just to, Google Generation
okay.
Jones. You'll find lots of credible stuff written by lots of sort of big-time writers. I encourage people to contact me. Go to my website. You can contact me. I'm happy to work. A lot of people think I only work with big Fortune 500 companies. Actually, I love working with smaller companies, too, and I give a lot of speeches. You can invite me to come speak to your group. But there's a lot of information out there, and if you have specific data needs, I've got tons of data, and I'm quite good about just sort of giving data, a little bit of data for free to lots of people. If you have a certain industry you're trying to figure out how do we sell sailboats to Jones or something, I might well have data that I'd be happy to give you. So there's a lot of data out there, and I encourage you to pursue it. There's the generational, and not just about Generation Jones, but about other generations too. There's, it's a very effective way of targeting.
That's excellent. You mentioned 53, just real quick, 53 million roughly, one in four adults is in the Generation Jones. Do you, off the top of your head, 1942 to 1953, the baby boom, how many of those are there roughly?
There's about 17% of the adult population is about 16-17%. So it's, you know, significantly more Jonesers. But boomers are certainly worth targeting as well. I mean, they're, you know, older people, again, we have really found now that older people can still be persuaded. You'll find Jonesers much more than boomers, and that there's a lot of data to show that Jonesers, you have much better luck. Jonesers are much more persuadable than boomers are at this point. And maybe by the time Jonesers are the boomer age, we won't be that persuadable either.
All right, well, that's about 34 million people in the baby boom, if I did my math correctly. All right, Jonathan, well, thanks for this good stuff, lots of great information, and I will be happy to have you come back, and we'll talk about maybe coming and helping my company do better with Generation Jones and the other generations. So thanks for being on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
All right, thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.